Hour number two. Always an absolute pleasure whenever we can chat with Steve Weiss from the NFL Network. Steve, it's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
I'm doing well, and it's great you got Doug on the seat next to you, too. I covered Doug when I used to cover the NBA, so you got a good co-pilot.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You know, we've talked so much about the Raiders this year. We knew at the beginning of the year that they had a chance to be a good team, and they've shown that. They're 4-2. But, Steve, when you look at this defense, how big of a concern is that to the big picture this year of the Oakland Raiders?
You know, it's a concern in as much as if they get into a tight game, can the defense make a play? You know, right now we've seen in tight games the offense has made plays. You know, Crabtree, Derek Carr. You know, when I say big play, it doesn't necessarily have to come at the end of the game, but they've really not answered in certain ways. And part of it is they've played a bunch of teams that as soon as they get the snap, they get the ball out. That's why you don't see Khalil Mack with an abundance of sacks. You don't. They're not playing these 5 and 7 step drop passing offenses, but they've got to tighten it up. I mean, Grant, you know, since this summer, I've told you I've been on the Raiders bandwagon here. They've got talent on the back end, but they've got to convince a couple players. You know, Sean Smith was a guy who played a lot of zone throughout his career. The Raiders want him to play a lot of man. They've got to figure that out. They've got to get some guys to play to their strengths, and the secondary's got to tighten things up a little bit. But I think they are steadily going to get better, but they can't count their offense to keep scoring a ton of points to win ball games.
Doug, you there?
Oh, yeah. Steve, first of all, thank you so much for the compliment. I truly appreciate that. So keep it in the Bay Area. The 49ers, 312 yards they allowed rushing, the most since 1958. I wasn't even alive, Steve. So they need linebackers. They need pass rushers. They need a lot of different things. What do you do in the middle of the season when you need all that?
Well, I mean, look, personnel-wise, you might not have the players that you want, but guys have to play better, and coaches have to put them in positions to play better. And I was at that game yesterday, and keep in mind, they took out Shady McCoy and Tyrod Taylor with 10 minutes left in the game. You know, Buffalo might have had 450 yards rushing had those two guys still been in the game. I mean, we've seen the 49ers. They are weak through the middle. Of course, Navarro Bowman is out for the season with that Achilles injury. But the defensive tackles have got to figure some things out. You know, I've covered about 3 of their games, and it is amazing how many tackles these safeties have to make because the linebackers aren't making a lot of tackles up the middle, and teams are gashing them right up the gut. So a lot of the players, what happened yesterday, they were undisciplined. They broke discipline on some of these option reads. So it's guys being disciplined. It's guys trusting one another, you know, not trying to overcompensate. Because when you in football, a lot of times you hear guys say, hey, look, I tried to do a little more than I should have, and that's when a guy like Shady McCoy popped a big run. They've got to get better. And part of it, the offense has to help them out, too. I mean, the defense did play fairly well, and I'm being very complimentary when I say fairly well for the better part of 3 quarters. But then the defense is on the field the whole second half because the offense couldn't sustain drives. They got worn down. And then that's when, you know, their kind of will to compete just kind of went the other way.
Let's talk about the Steelers. The surgery for Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers don't believe he's going to be out too long, but you know, you look at this week's game, he's not playing, obviously, against the Patriots. You figure that was going to be a difficult game anyway. Then a bye week, then at Baltimore and Dallas. Give me your thoughts in the short term how this impacts this Pittsburgh Steelers team.
Well, we've seen them play without him. I mean, every year he goes through something. And I think one of the things that factors in, besides the medical thinking he won't be out too long, is Ben Roethlisberger always comes back. I mean, we know he's one of the tougher guys in the NFL. They've had a lot of guys out. They really haven't had a lot of consistency. As fantastic as their offense has been for most of the season, you know, they just got back Le'Veon Bell. You know, the receivers have been in and out of the lineup. It impacts them absolutely against the Patriots. I mean, New England, Grant, we spoke about earlier this year, they were the team to beat. You just know that everything they're up against, you know, they just seem like they always win ball games in these situations. So the defense has got to step up for Pittsburgh. That's been another issue as well. I mean, they have not. That defense has been real hot and cold. And we've seen teams, when a player gets hurt, somebody or another part of the team has got to step up. I think it's tough against the Patriots, but the bye week is coming at the right time for them, especially when this medical situation with Roethlisberger has happened.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Falcons. They went up to Seattle and lost against my Seahawks, and the Falcons are an interesting bunch because many times they make it to the playoffs. You think they're going to do some big things. Julio Jones is playing fantastic. Matt Ryan, Devontae Freeman, Coleman. Is this a bunch now that can take that next step in the playoffs, or are the Birds going to let down Atlanta again?
And, Steve, make sure you let him know what a horrible, horrible miscall that was on the Atlanta Falcons. You know, make sure that you know his Seattle Seahawks got a gift yesterday, all right, please?
Okay, here's why I'm going to couch this to make Doug feel
love
better.
You.
Okay. It was an absolute pass interference, okay? There's no denying that. But guess who coached Richard Sherman to play that way for a long time? Dan Quinn, the coach of the
yes.
Falcons, when he was the DC of the Seahawks. So,
hear that, Grant?
Okay, now, Doug, you feel better now? Okay,
yes,
now,
I do, sir, yes.
Your question, to answer your question,
unbelievable.
I do think the Falcons have staying power. I mean, you know, one of the biggest things that's kind of gone overlooked this season, and I'm glad my colleague Brian Baldinger brought it up today on our Up to the Minute show, is center Alex Mack has really stabilized the offensive line and been a consistent player for Matt Ryan. Last year, when things got off the rails, when, you know, they started hot and then they completely collapsed, they had instability at center. Matt Ryan was either short-hopping the shotgun snaps or they were sailing the ball over his head, so they tried to do some things that took him out of that no-huddle offense and everything to try to get things going. Now they've got that stabilized, and that offensive line is playing a lot better. The defense, it's going to be hot and cold. It's a typical dome team defense that's built to play with a lead. And if they don't sustain a lead, they're going to be susceptible to a lot of, especially teams that can really run, they're going to be susceptible. So I like Atlanta. I don't see anybody in that division really threatening them because, and Grant, remember we said this earlier in the year, I said Carolina has the potential to be like a 7-9 team, and they really look like
absolutely.
It right now.
Absolutely, you did. Yes, you did.
So I think Atlanta is the favorite to win that division and to make a playoff run. And I think they could do something in the playoffs because Matt Ryan is playing the best football of his career.
Today, the Nevada governor signed off on the $750 million of public money earmarked for the stadium, which the Raiders would obviously play in a couple of years. Do you feel that Mark Davis and the Oakland Raiders have enough support from the rest of the NFL owners to make this happen?
It's growing. It's growing. Okay, here's what I can tell you about the situation. About 3 weeks ago, I spoke with an owner who is very plugged in to what the league wants. And at that time it was Roger Goodell, and he thought the majority of the owners were not big on approving a second relocation in 2 years. You know, they don't want the NFL kind of being viewed as a league where, hey, if a team can't get a stadium, it's going to move. However, the fact that $750 million of public funding is now available has been a game changer. From people I spoke with, including some folks in the league office today, they feel that it's going to be hard for a lot of owners to sit there and say, well, gosh, you know, if you can get $750 million in public financing, and then we're giving you $300 million, Mark Davis is putting in $200 million, you've got, you know, over $1 billion to build the stadium. But the public financing thing, it's going to be very, very hard for them to say no. Now, the question is, when will they vote on it? Will Roger Goodell say, because Mark Davis is going to apply for relocation in January.
Right.
That's going to happen, okay? Will he say, let's wait a year, let's slow the roll and kind of see how things play out with the San Diego Stadium situation before we get to this? Or will he go ahead and give the go-ahead if there's the momentum behind it?
Yeah, because what happens if San Diego gets a stadium, then that keeps the L.A. market alive for the Raiders, does it not? And do you not feel that Mark Davis, if he had his druthers, wouldn't he rather be in L.A. than he would in Vegas? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, right now, Mark Davis wants to be in Vegas.
Okay.
I've had that conversation. He is all in. He does not feel that Oakland is going to step up in any way, shape, or form.
Correct.
To save this team. And I can tell you this. The league does not want the Raiders in Los Angeles.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, the main reason is, well, there are two main reasons. One, they think that the Rams have come in and captured the market, but they also know that if they put the Raiders there, that will also take away the luster of the Rams. They don't necessarily want to do the second part, and it's going to sound crazy, is a lot of these owners who've invested a lot into a lot of building their own franchises don't want to see Mark Davis go ahead and parachute in there and see his team all of a sudden go from whatever it's valued at into one of the top five or six most valuable teams. I mean, the Rams went from being, I think, the 26th most valuable team to the 6th most valuable team just by moving to L.A. And they don't want Mark Davis, who just kind of, you know, came into the situation the way he did and hasn't really invested in his franchise and making it better, to parachute in there and get all of this money when the other owners have done a lot more to try to earn money for their franchises.
We're Steve Weiss, NFL Network. Steve, so tonight, Monday Night Football, Arizona Cardinals and the elixir or doctor's prescription that is known as the New York Jets. Will they... and all my questions revolve, and Grant knows this, around the Seahawks, who Arizona plays next week. So is this going to – will they get over the hump tonight and get that mojo back? Is that what we're looking for the Arizona Cardinals?
We'll see. I mean, you know, the 49ers, by the way, are the elixir, okay?
So yeah, not, right. Not right.
The Jets are going to give Arizona a good game here. I mean, I think this is still – a very talented team. They don't have Eric Decker, but I think this defense is a tough matchup for Arizona. And, of course, Todd Bowles, the former Cardinals defensive coordinator, is the head coach with the Jets. It's an interesting matchup. Carson Palmer's coming back, but, you know, more and more people I speak to around the league about Carson Palmer, it's like, you know, he's kind of reverted back to being Carson Palmer, which means he's a good quarterback, but he's going to leave two or three passes in the air a game that can be intercepted. And that's what's gone on so far. So they're going to try to run, get the ball, the run game going with David Johnson, but the Jets, you know, they're defensively, they're fine. It's all up to Ryan Fitzpatrick, though, for the Jets.
Sure.
I mean, he's got to stop being such a gracious donor of the football and play good football. And I think this could be a very, very competitive game.
I know you and I have talked a lot, as we're talking with Steve Weiss from the NFL Network, with the Rams going back to Los Angeles for the first time in 22 years. And, you know, how would they be? They got off to that dismal, embarrassing start on Monday Night Football, but they've played fairly well since then. I'm just curious, do you get the assignment to go over the pond to cover the Rams this week, or are you staying stateside?
I am leaving tomorrow to head over to London.
Beautiful.
The game's going to air on NFL Network.
Oh,
so Marshall Faulk and I are headed over there.
Well, there you go. Perfect. All right. So I want you to know, you know, and you know this, okay? I love the NFL. I eat, sleep, and drink it. But I got to tell you, I'm not thrilled about getting up at 6:30 in the morning to watch my Giants play from London. I hate it. But I know you're going to have a hell of a time over there this week. So at least I'm happy for you. I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you this, Grant. In every gangster movie, what do they say? You have a choice. We always have a choice. Okay? You can TiVo it. You can watch it a little bit later. But I have a strange feeling you're going to be up at 6:30. And, Doug, don't think that's big. 6:30 is going to preclude Grant from having a nice, tall, cold one
while
he watches
the
Giants play.
Hey, at 6:30 in the morning. I love it.
You're a beauty. All right, now, you're leaving tomorrow, you said?
Yep.
All right, so you'll have week-long coverage over there, NFL Network, and then you come back on Monday. You've been over there before for the NFL games, have you not?
I have, and it's absolutely fantastic, which, you know, London's a great place, and the fans are very, very knowledgeable. I mean, this isn't just an event to go to anymore. What's interesting about this one is it's going to be played for the first time in a rugby stadium. It's at the Twickenham Rugby Stadium. And, you know, we always see the Wembley turf get torn to shreds when these guys play on it, you know, because a turf is made for 165-pound soccer players. Well, rugby turf is going to be made for guys who are just as big as these NFL players. So I'm very interested to see how that impacts the game.
Are you surprised that the Rams, after what we saw in Week One with Case Keenum at quarterback, have been able to go 3-3? And what do you look at them for the rest of the year? Are they a playoff type of football team, or is that way too premature to say?
You did that so much to appease Doug now. Right now, there's no team in the NFC West that looks like it's going to get past Seattle. Yes. Arizona has the potential to. I mean, I think if they win tonight, then they have the potential to really turn a corner. But the Rams are going to be what they are. They're going to be a tough out every game. It's going to be hard for them to score, even though they put up 31 yesterday against Detroit. But, you know, look, this is the game. They're playing the Giants. It looks like, you know, Odell Beckham has got his got everything back in order.
Does he have his fiancée going to kicking net? Is that making the trip over the pond?
Okay, now you know, that's about is played out now. The kicking net thing is about as played out as when Doug comes up to you and talks about battle rapping.
I love it.
Very nice,
but,
Steve.
You know, yeah, but I mean, look, the Rams are going to be competitive. I just don't know. You know, they're not going to be able to hang 31 on teams week to week. And are they a playoff team? You know, you look around right now, you know, Green Bay, what's going on there? You know, the Vikings look like they've got some staying power because Sam Bradford looks great. Atlanta looks like it's got staying power. The NFC East could have maybe two teams. But is there a wild card team coming out of the NFC West? You know, you really don't know. It's intriguing the way things are shaping up right now. There's a lot of football left to be played. But, you know, it really looks like in the early part of the season, there's a lot of haves and have-nots.
Steve, you talk about the NFC. Got to bring up the NFC East. You know the Cowboys. People want to know. Dak or Tony when Tony comes back? Just want your take.
My take is I think if they keep playing the way they're playing, you keep Dak. But I think the Cowboys are going to put Tony Romo in. I think they know that if they put Romo in and it doesn't work, they can go back to Dak. But I think Jerry is just incredibly loyal to a player he's paid a lot of money and who's made him a lot of money and who they feel they can do more with their offense. But look, they got a good thing going right now. And I just think back a couple years ago when Josh McCown had it going in Chicago, when Jay Cutler was hurt, they bring Cutler back. I think they lose their final three games and don't make the playoffs, and Green Bay gets in at like an 8-7-1 record or something like that. But it's an intriguing situation. It's you know, it sounds cliche. It's not a bad situation to have because I don't think the chemistry will necessarily be affected that much because they're a run-first football team. But, man, it would be hard to make a switch with a team playing as well as it's playing offensively.
Steve, it's always great to have you on. I hope you have a very safe trip to London. Have a great week, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Enjoy that early ball game, Grant.
You know what? I've got my alarm set already. There is no way I'm going to miss it, all right? I'm not going to miss it. Take care, buddy.
All right, God. Take care.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. There you go. Giants-Rams from London. And I hate the games in London. You know how I feel about that. I don't mind one. I don't like as many as they're having. You know, Peter King of MMQB told me last year he thought that in the very near future there would be 8 games a year in London, and I hate that. I don't want to see the NFL go to London. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of the Raiders playing the Houston Texans on Monday Night Football in Mexico City in a couple of weeks. I think it's wrong. I think it's a disgrace. Why is it that the NFL is playing a Monday Night game in Mexico City? That makes absolutely no sense to me. Why? Because it sells out? Well, guess what? The game would have sold out in Oakland in about 5 seconds, so that you can't tell me that. I hate it. I don't like it. I do not want the NFL playing as often as they are now overseas. I don't. And listen, I understand the marketing, but the NFL is not a global game. It's not like the NBA. It's not like the NHL. It's different. Leave the damn game in the United States, would you please?
Oh, Grant, come on, man. You are just fighting change. Roger Goodell has a goal of $25 billion gross revenue by 2027. Those owners are licking their chops, baby.
Well, good. You know what? Keep it up and see. You know, the NFL ratings are continuing to decline. Play more games overseas, all right, like 6:30 in the morning and see what the NFL ratings. You got the number. No, I'm serious. I mean.
You're right.
Okay, this is not good for the NFL. And tell me something else, all right? And I understand about the dollar sign. I get that. Can you imagine the Oakland Raiders having a home Monday night game when they're finally good and now they got to go to Mexico City to play their only Monday night game of the year? I mean, it's just I don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah, that makes sense because the fans, especially when a team gets good, they deserve to have, because Monday night is a big thing. It's
like the
badge of honor, and to take it away, I totally agree.
All right. We will be right back with our final segment. You can get on deck at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. It's 425. Time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sport Clips near you. Back after this. All right. Final segment. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. So let's get to some calls. Rob, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Grant?
What's happening?
I was talking about the Raiders' defense. The offensive scheme ran by Ken Norton Jr. Don't you think that maybe, this way I'm thinking, Jack Del Rio probably could have, should have, would have went with Mike Smith as his DC before he had hired Ken Norton.
I don't think this is a coaching issue. I think this is a personnel issue.
Yeah, okay. Going back to when you were saying personnel, if it's a personnel issue, Ken Norton ran that cover three type defense back in Seattle, which is still working for them. Don't you think they should have just go back to that?
I don't know if they have the personnel to do that. The one glaring weakness they have, they don't have a DB. They don't have anyone that can guard a tight end, all right? They have some real issues at linebacker. Their personnel right now is hurting them. And, you know, you can talk all you want about schematic. Jack Del Rio is a defensive coach. Jack Del Rio is a very good defensive coach. Trust me, Jack Del Rio has hand in this. It's not just like Ken Norton's coaching a defense by himself.
Right. He's the head coach. He gets the final say. Mike Smith, however, also been a DC under Jack Del Rio back in Jacksonville. I don't know. I'm just putting things out there. What
I understand
shoulda. I personally think it probably would have been different kind of. If Ken Norton goes under the cover three scheme, or if they had hired Mike Smith as the blitz specialist, which is a specialist also at man-to-man coverage type scheme too as well.
All right, well, thanks very much. Doug, here's the bottom line, okay? Jack Del Rio is an established defensive coach. Ken Norton is an established defensive coach. Are they the greatest in the history of the NFL? Well, probably not. But, I mean, to me, this is a personnel issue more than a coaching issue.
I totally agree. If you're going to go cover three like Seattle, you know, they got Cam Chancellor. They got big DBs, big safeties. Not everybody, but they're very mobile. They can cover different positions. So that isn't something – it's personnel-based. You got to have the right personnel to do that, or you find yourself in bad positions.
All right, let's get to Vic. Hello, Vic. You're on with Grant and Doug.
Hi, Grant. Just want to make 2 points. The Odell Beckham penalty for excessive celebration, whatever, I thought was stupid because he was out of the back of the end zone. He was off the field of play, so he should have been able to take his helmet off.
Well, first of all, he can't take his helmet off in that situation. That's number one. And number two, he should have got a taunting penalty on his first touchdown when he was pointing at the defensive back coming in and the officials missed that. So actually, he should have had a taunting penalty on the first touchdown, again, showing his immaturity. And the rule states that you cannot take your helmet off right after a touchdown like that or a scoring play. So he's wrong.
So the field of play goes on forever.
Yeah, well, it doesn't go on forever, but in the situation like he was within the boundaries of the sidelines, even though he was out of the end zone, that is still, you cannot take your helmet off in that situation.
Okay, the
hey, Grant.
Go ahead,
hello?
Doug.
No, I was going to say, Grant, on top of that, you know what he has to learn is he's given away too much information by being so overly excited and stuff, because that tells the defense when they're in his head. Because if you're that excited, as soon as I stop you and shut you up and you start pouting, now I know. Way too much information.
That's a good point.
Okay. My second point was, I think we should have run the ball more. In bad weather, the offensive team has the advantage because they know where they're going. The defenders don't. So you keep them off balance by pounding the ball.
Well, that's fine and dandy, but, you know, the Raiders are a prolific passing team, and their top two running backs have been hurt for most of the year. So I don't know about that, Doug. I mean, the Raiders just Give Kansas City credit, man. I thought their game plan was outstanding. I thought Andy Reid did a marvelous job coaching the team. Doug, before you get back, we only have a minute, so I need to do some business here. I want to tell you that Sports 1140 KHDK is bringing foodie music together. It's the Downtown Showdown coming up October 29th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Capitol Mall in downtown. Enjoy over 30 food trucks and vendors, a craft beer garden, and performances by the Goo Goo Dolls, Thompson Square, and Nelly. Tickets at KHDK.com. Doug, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow, man. It's going to be a lot of fun at the Golden One Center.
Man, I can't wait. This is going to be as close as we probably get to opening night.
Yep.
NBA versus NBA. The Clippers are in the house. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, and we get to face them and go after them. And I think that you said it, that Coach Yeager is going to play this one more like a regular game.
Doug, have a great evening. We will see you tomorrow, buddy. For Doug Christie, Grant Napier, Monday Night Football is coming up next.